Hi, I'm Hannah.
Hi, I'm Rochelle, and you're listening to Box Box F1 Pod. We're in America, and it's
Fuck
been...
yeah.
That's a quote from a TV show, by the way, apparently. Do you know what show it is? People kept quoting it.
No.
America. Me neither. But it's from a show. Anyway, what a day. What a race. We will get into discussing it all, but first we're going to talk about everything that's been going on this weekend. So it's time for our digital warm-up.
Doo-doo-doo. Lap one. The box box inbox. So a few episodes ago, Horse Girl explained Gina Schumacher's pastime, which is similar to dressage. And she mentioned there's horses called warm bloods, which Rochelle thought were reptiles, potentially. But actually, Horse Girl explained part two. There's just different breeds that aren't indicative of the temperature of their blood. So, for example, there's cold blood breeds that are really big horses with very chill personalities, like the Budweiser Clydesdale.
So, cold refers to personality, not...
Right.
Right.
And I like that it's a Budweiser horse, because those are cold AF.
Uh-huh.
And then the warm bloods are medium, large-ish, and traditionally used in working environments like jumping and dressage. And then there's hot-blooded, which are typically high-strung, lean, and lightweight, like a thoroughbred, aka a racehorse.
That is hilarious, because that's exactly how you describe an F1 driver.
Yes, F1 drivers are hot-blooded. I would say NASCAR drivers are in between cold and warm.
I guess racehorses also need aerodynamics.
Therefore, yes, they need to be lightweight.
Yeah.
I wonder what they eat. Probably grass.
So Lewis's diet, basically.
Vegan. Thank you, Horse Girl.
Yeah, Horse Girl sounds like we're Gossip Girl, and that's like someone who wrote in a tip.
XOXO, Horse Girl. Okay, lap two, McLaren. Out of nowhere, Zach Brown got a tattoo of Monza, the Monza track outline with the date 9/12/2021, and then he posted it on Instagram with a caption, "Not that Monza was going to be forgotten in a hurry, ... Italian flag trophy." Because if you all remember, that's where there was a double McLaren 1-2 win and triple Shuey.
Yes, that was appalling for everyone, including Lando, who almost vomited.
And why would you want to forget that?
You would never. So I think last week when we were talking about tattoos, we mentioned that it would be cute to get like a circuit on your body.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, we did predict this.
We did. I take it back.
Yep. It looks awful. Phallic.
It looks phallic.
Oh yeah, the Monza track is not a cute one.
No. You could have done anything else. Get a bowl of pasta. Get a shoe.
Or he should have gotten a river dirt cheese, el chili prossimo paste.
That is a tattoo to get. This, I understand to him, this is like subtle. This is like a star or something or whatever girls get that's basic. A rose, a lightning bolt, like whatever. This is... Okay,
I just don't... It is phallic.
It is. I think it was a terrible choice.
And the worst part about it is it wasn't part of his bet with Daniel. This was 100% through his own free will.
Yes, he, like, specifically when Daniel came on, he was like, "I'm telling you now, I do not like needles. That is not happening." And Daniel's like, "Okay."
But then he just thought one day, what if I got a dick on my arm?
It's not any dick, it's an Italian dick.
The best.
We still love you,
Zach.
Zach, yes. And I love that he got this tattoo wearing a polo. Just makes it better.
Okay. Also, other McLaren news. Daniel finally drove Dale Earnhardt Sr.'s car, the number 3 car that Zach Brown owns now. It's a 1984 Chevrolet Monte Carlo. And I found out that Dale was actually Daniel's, like, racing hero. And Daniel's number is 3 because of Dale.
Oh, so that's not a coincidence. This is truly, this is a, what's his name? Zach thought this through. He wasn't just offering him a random car. He, like, made it have meaning. Which, I, just makes me love Zach more.
What a thoughtful boss.
I know. That's very cute.
He should have put more thought into his own gift to himself.
True. Our consultant Daniel or something. I feel like Daniel would be like, this is not your best option.
And Daniel's a tattoo expert.
Yeah. Tattoo. Yep. This is not, that's the thing. Zach didn't get a tattoo. He got a tattoo.
Right.
He way got lamer.
A tattoo.
Oh man. But yeah, that's very cute that Daniel got, he was smiling so hard. He always smiles hard, but this really
put the hardest we've seen him smile. He was literally smiling through his helmet in the car, in the closed cockpit.
Anyway, love Daniel's smile. Lap 3, F1 continues to do hashtag America. First things first, F1 did a free throw competition between all the teams. And the pictures were hilarious because if you ever doubted how tall F1 drivers are on average, put them next to NBA players and it's just like astounding. Charles and Carlos were like at the chest of these NBA players.
And apparently Aston Martin won the free throw contest.
Unexpected.
Well, Seb is tall.
I suppose. I know Daniel did a really good job.
Oh yeah, because he plays basketball for fun.
Yeah, he lives in America. So.
Yeah, I'm not sure how Lance did.
Oh, so you think the Aston Martin win was because of Seb?
That's just what I assumed.
Poor Lance.
I mean, do you think Lance carried the team?
Lance is Canadian. He's much closer to basketball.
I just, like, basketball requires, like, a little bit of swag.
That is, just yeah, that's, he does not have that.
But Seb subtly has swag.
Are you sure? Because on this list, Seb only got 3 shots. It was Lance. Lance got 6 out of 10.
Whoa.
Lance got 6 out of 10. Vettel got 3 out of 10. Daniel got 7 out of 10. And I...
Lando?
Lando's not on here, so I assume...
he either called in sick or he was embarrassingly bad.
So take that back. Lance is good at something, and that is free throws.
Okay. Who wore the cowboy hat best this weekend?
We saw lots of cowboy hats. Namely, Checo. Alex Albon.
Alex came out of nowhere onto the track in a whole cowboy outfit, but the entire rest of the Red Bull team was wearing a t-shirt.
Yeah, like the Red Bull t-shirt.
Yeah.
It was not... But it was also a bad cowboy outfit.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't look cool. He looked like he truly owned a farm somewhere.
Yep. So he might have looked the most realistic.
Yeah, like, let's give him that.
Daniel Ricciardo in his cowboy hat, also doing his Western accent, like, is the most fun looking, like a character, but I wouldn't believe for a second he was a real cowboy with a ranch.
No. I mean, as long as you don't look at Alex Albon's face, because I don't think he can handle a ranch, to be honest.
He's just the sweet Thai boy.
Yes. He's like the one that's there. He's just there, and he, like, really wants to help, but probably can only milk the cows. It's probably the
extent. Barely. No, but the worst, in my opinion, was George Russell. He looks like he would step 1 foot on a farm and be like, someone call the chauffeur.
You know, it's because he's so posh. His face radiates poshness, and it looks like raw. He looks like he's at a party in, like, Chelsea that, like, was cowboy themed, and so he
it looks like a cultural appropriation situation. Right off the bat,
even Alex Albon looked more natural than George.
Yeah, no, George stick to the white, tight white pants and polos.
Yeah, that's your jam. Max wore the full outfit last time in America when he was still teammates with Daniel Ricciardo, which makes sense.
Yeah, he was peer pressured for sure.
Yes, and it looked exactly how you'd imagine. Not
natural.
Great. He looked incredibly uncomfortable the entire time.
Max reminds me of some of the children who are forced into Halloween costumes, but yes, they're so unhappy about it.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. Which I feel like a lot of the situations he was with Daniel in. Like, Daniel's all like, gung-ho, let's do all this stuff. And Max is like, ugh.
If it were up to Max, first of all, he wouldn't be on Drive to Survive at all.
No.
He would not wear any sort of costume whatsoever. And he probably wouldn't participate in the press conferences because their questions are stupid.
Yes, that definitely no press conference. He, like, hates those. If he might do the rest of it if there's, like, something fun involved. Like, the Austrian thing they did, he looked like he was having a good time despite wearing lederhosen.
But, yeah. Yeah, I think he would want to do stuff with, like, people he would want to hang out with.
Yes, agreed. Anyway.
All right.
Lap four.
Celeb sightings. There were so many celebrities today.
Random ones.
Yep.
Not ones I was like, well, the basketball players I accept. There were some old Miami Heat players. Shaq was there. I was not expecting Shaq, to be honest. He is alarmingly large. And then there were also Winnie Harlow and Meg Thee Stallion. And then George Lucas and Ben Stiller.
Ben Stiller's hair is entirely white.
He either stopped coloring it or aged significantly. His face doesn't move.
Yeah, no, he got Botox.
He 100%, because he did, that was really hilarious. He did a picture with a Ferrari engineer who clearly was like, let's do the Zoolander face. And the Ferrari engineer went like full out with the face, like he was like full fish facing it, whatever it is, like smoldering. Mm-hmm. And Ben's face didn't move. It looked like he was trying mighty hard to get that to happen, but it wasn't.
Ben peaked, and this is the aftermath.
Yes. His son, he was there with his son.
Yeah.
Who was adorable.
Back to George Lucas, though. The commentators were like, I bet he could make a great movie out of this. I'm sorry. What do you think this man does? Like, he's not going to make a movie about F1.
No, unless the F1s were in space.
Right. If there was F1 on the moon and there was a war.
There is a war. Who is Yoda? Marco? Helmet Marco?
Helmet Marco's a villain.
But I was trying to think of someone old who gives advice. I guess, what's his name? Niki Lauda was. Niki Lauda would probably be Yoda. All right.
He would be a good Yoda because he only had pithy one-liners that were kind of rude.
Yes, that's true. Who would be Darth Vader?
Helmet.
Oh, fair. Yep. All right, we got that. All right.
Lap five. So, 6 months ago, I bought a Mercedes because I realized I was driving a Hyundai. And that was not on brand for me anymore as an F1 fan.
Wait, I'm sorry. 6 months ago, does that mean that we've been doing this for more than 6 months?
I bought it in May. So, yeah, because we started in April.
Oh,
so,
my God. Yeah. It's been 7 months. Almost
a month into the podcast, I fully committed to having an F1 brand. I was like, I need an F1 car. And so I got a Mercedes SUV, which I named Wolfie after Toto. But now I no longer need a car because I got a virtual job, and so I sold Wolfie immediately.
And we're sad.
Yeah, we are sad. I mean, I did love Wolfie, so I was sad about that, but this was a great time to sell a used car
because
the market is so hot. I got almost all my money back, so I was thrilled.
Yes, it was worth it. Good
for sure. Like, literally, I got the job, and the next day I went to the dealership.
Yes. It wasn't personal.
No.
It was money.
It was financial.
Yes.
Strictly. But
very I F1 did, of you.
Yes. I channeled a lot of Lawrence Stroll energy in my negotiations. Because they were like, oh, we have to, like, you know, we could only give you this much. And I was like, I know what the market looks like today. This will not do.
You go, girl.
Yes. So I asked Rochelle to write an obituary in the form of a rhyme because those are just my favorites.
I did meet Wolfie once, so this was drawing from my personal experience as well. Here I go. All right. Oh, Wolfie, sleek, black, and new. It's unfortunately time to say adieu. There were many things I loved about you, like how your attitude was always can-do, and how your frame was no egg and all box. Did I take you for granted how much you rocked? All I know is that there's one lesson you taught me. It's when you get shat on, one time, two times, or even three, just wipe it off. Look those haters in the eye and say bye. So in conclusion, Wolfie, you know you'll always be my ride or die. And though our time together was short and sweet, I know I'll think of you every time I walk down the street. I hope tears were shed.
Yeah, for context, when Rochelle was in Philly, we were driving down the freeway on a beautiful day. And all of a sudden, birds kept shitting on the car out of nowhere. It was like splat, splat, splat. But it did give us the opportunity to go in a car wash, which,
yes,
for everyone who's watched Cars, is a bidet for cars. So it worked out.
It was super fun. And if you don't follow us on social media, you're missing out on fun content like that. Like us going through a car wash.
Yeah, this is an exclusive BoxBox F1 pod story.
Yeah, so I don't know what you're doing. You better go follow us now for more exclusive content.
We even played Life is a Highway while we're going through the car wash.
It was a masterpiece. It truly was.
Thank you for commemorating Wolfie's death. Rest in peace. You're welcome.
R.I.P. I hope he's in a better place now.
Just in a dealership. Okay, another rhyme.
Yes, sorry everyone for the rhyme overload.
I love these.
I know you do. I hope everyone likes them as much as you.
At least one person emailed us.
Yes, we did get an email, so we're going off of that. Here is the race recap. America, land of the guest celebrity and home of the brave. The likes of Shaq, Meg Thee Stallion, and Ben Stiller graced the stage. Not to mention, half the USA showed up in the middle of an October heat wave. With Max in P1 and Lewis in P2, Lord knows it's going to be close. Godspeed, and may the force be with you both. And as the race starts, there's an overtake in turn one, and there Lewis goes. But it isn't long until Max gets P1 back like a total queen. Meanwhile, the battle between Carlos and both McLarens is one of the craziest we've seen. But that back and forth doesn't quite compare to another unfolding scene, where Kimi and an Alpine switch and switch, and Alpine gives Michael a call with a sassy pitch. But please be aware, Michael and the Stews are not the same bitch. All day, this issue kept getting a reprise, track limits in general, plus overtaking around the outside. Seriously, just keep an eye out for the white line, guys. With just a few laps to go, the battle for first continues to ensue. Will it be Lewis or Max? Honestly, no one's got a clue. Lots of traffic for the top two, as if no one is seeing the color blue. Move, Mick! Get out the way! Get out the way, Mick! Get out the way! And Max gets a W, time for the champagne to spray. And though every driver is hot and tired, it's truly a party in the USA.
Wonderful.
Excellent.
Very good. Okay, on to analysis. So, we usually don't talk about free practice, but one thing happened worth mentioning. Max and Lewis were battling for position into turn one, and Max said, "Stupid idiot," and gave a middle finger gesture.
The caption on Autosport posted it, and the caption was, "Has anyone told them it's only free practice?"
I think there must have been a talk with Max at least, but maybe even the both of them, because the rest of the weekend was fine.
Yeah, maybe Max was just in a mood on Friday. Mm-hmm. They keep saying, like, we fight and we're mad at each other, but then we make up and we're fine. And
sounds like a toxic relationship.
It does. Or a healthy rivalry. It depends
on you. Right. I guess in the spirit of competition, they push each other to be better.
Yes, but respect each other nonetheless.
So, starting with Quali, well, just for some context about the importance of Quali for the U.S. Grand Prix, 4 races have been won from pole position, and all 8 were won from the front row. So, Quali was very important this weekend. And Charles was really fast, so it seems like the Monegasque curse couldn't catch him here.
Nope, and the birthday was far enough away that he was in the clear.
Yes, and track limits were a major issue even in Quali. A lot of people got their times deleted. And so the Quali results were somewhat predictable, but Sebastian, George, and Alonso, and Valtteri all took grid penalties.
Yes, but I believe Vettel, George, and Alonso started like way back. And Bottas only started in 9th, despite finishing 4th. So the starting grid was Max in P1, Lewis in P2, Checo in P3, who, by the way, is loved in Texas. Like, half of Mexico seemed to, like, drive up for this.
I was so happy about that.
Me too.
And they were saying before the Mexican Grand Prix was introduced,
this was like the same race.
Yeah. Which, yeah. I'm sorry he had to call
this is
Texas. Austin, Texas is home.
I mean, he was still carrying around a Mexican flag like it was a home race.
Yeah, because it's a North America. You know.
But I mean, technically, this is Stroll and Latifi's first home race as well, then.
That is wild.
Yeah, Texas. What if Texas was home to so many? P4 is Charles. P5 is Carlos, which is very exciting. P6 is Danny, thanks to the cowboy energy. Yes. P7, Lando. P8, Gasly. P9, Valtteri. And P10, Yuki, who's made it into Q3 for the second time in a row.
Proud of Yuki, but yeah, Valtteri actually finished 4th, but of course, Mercedes changed out his engine yet again. It's like his 6th engine. I mean, I give them the benefit of the doubt in this case because there is truly no reason to do that unless there was actually like a malfunctioning or like real reason to do it. Like, you know, because some of the other times were to block Max and stuff.
Yeah.
So, but why can't they just get it together? They have so much money. Why do they have to change the engine 6 times?
It really doesn't make sense. Like, it sounds like it's a malfunctioning engine. And why is his so malfunctioning and Lewis's isn't? You know,
because right.
Then that's like, regardless, it's fishy. Whether it's for strategy in the race or whether it's just giving him a shittier engine. I don't understand why he needs this so many times. That's absurd. So for race day, I actually caught I've never caught it before, but I caught a snippet of the pre-race. The person singing the national anthem sounded so Southern.
Do your best impression.
Oh, say, can you say, by the dogs or lay light?
Wow, that's so a lot of twang.
It was like a stare, like the, if they were to play like the stereotype of a Southern accent, that's what this person sounded like. Like, it was so over the top. And it also seemed like the Dallas cheerleaders were there.
Yeah, they're always there.
But isn't there a game, Cowboy game today?
I mean, I don't know what time that is, but I'm sure they
could make
their rounds.
Also, you know how it's always so cute, they have like airplanes flying above the track, yeah. And then they release the colored smoke or whatever, yes. And it's cute. No, we had military helicopters flying over the field, and then a man parachuted down with an American flag and a Red Bull helmet.
Because that's super badass.
Yeah, I guess. They should have had it be Tom Cruise. That would have been cool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yet again, another one for their pitch book.
I know, our pitch book is getting lengthy. Go ahead.
I was going to say, it was around 85 degrees Fahrenheit today, which is hot.
Is that normal for October in Texas? For 85 degrees?
I don't know about 85 degrees, but for sure it's still warm in October, but I think today was unusually hot.
Hashtag global warming. Lewis is working
plant
on it, okay?
Tree. There's no trees in sight. Or there were trees, but no repenting trees.
No, we need to see a repenting tree. A giving tree. These are hashtag
giving trees. Oh my god, a giving tree. Yeah, yeah. I was going to say offset trees. But giving trees a better, has a better ring to it.
They should have offset plant and offset
yeah. tree. Throw Cardi B in there for fun.
Yeah. If only her and Meg Thee Stallion performed WAP today.
Oh my god. They should have done, you know how like Tiesto did the post show?
Yes, they should have done this race.
Seriously? Why is no one talking to us?
We have so many good ideas at F1. Yes. Listen. A commentator described the track as hot, bumpy, and ferocious. Very interesting collection of adjectives there. Also, it's important to note that this was ruled a two-stop strategy race.
Yeah.
So
which they stuck to.
Yes, I think a couple of people tried for a three-stop and it did not work.
So at the start of the race, like we said, Max was on pole and then Lewis was in P2. Lewis overtook Max in the first turn and was leading for a little bit.
But then Max got back into leading position. Lewis
that was
led
pretty much left. It.
Yeah, that was really it with them. It only got exciting with them again at the end.
Yeah, because Lewis almost caught up at the end. But, Max was basically leading the whole race other than the beginning.
Yes. More excitingly, there was a weird, situation with Carlos and both McLarens. Norris kept getting ahead, then Ricardo kept getting ahead. And then Carlos got ahead, and then he had to let Lando back through. Okay, so that was
funny radio.
Yes, funny radio. Because first context, that was basically the track limits was confusing everyone. So drivers kept having to let other people through, which is what happened with Carlos and the McLarens at a certain point. They had to let the other pass because they overtook outside of track limits. The same thing happened with Fernando and Alonso, right?
Fernando is Alonso.
Sorry. The same thing happened with Kim.
Yeah, with Kimmy.
Kimmy and Fernando. And so Kimmy overtook seemingly outside track limits. And everyone was like, what the hell, man? He should have to give the spot back. And the stewards did not rule that. So the Alpine paddock wall phoned in to Michael as per. Should we do it one after the other?
Oh, yes. I'll be Michael.
Okay. Michael, just want to confirm it's okay to overtake off the track.
No, it's not.
But that's what Kimmy just did, so it's okay.
No, you can't.
Got it. So you can overtake off the track.
No, it's not okay.
But it's okay for Raikkonen.
It's not okay for anyone.
End scene.
Yes, Michael was apathetic, robotic, and sad.
You really captured his tone quite well. He was very, just so resigned. Like, are you shitting me? Also, I'm not a stew. My name's not Stu Massey. I am Michael Massey. Leave me alone. Their rulings are independent from him, I believe. So the commentators were saying he can raise issues with them and they can look at them, but he doesn't contribute to the
ruling. He's head of state.
Yes.
He's a figurehead.
You're irrelevant. You have to get all the calls and you have to deal with all the crap, but
don't forget those emails. Yes. Monday through Friday.
Yeah, imagine having to deal with all the emails, but none of the decision-making. Although he does make some decisions.
His job is looking through his inbox and selecting which ones to forward.
But then again, this is only for track incidents, I believe, right? Because, the rain thing in Belgium was his call. I guess.
So the one time Michael had to make a decision, he made us wait for 4 hours.
Man's never made a decision before. I would like to make a request of Netflix. Please for the love of God, get a camera into Stu's cave or wherever they sit and ruminate on their decisions, because I don't get it. Like, I want to know how that goes. I want to know how that decision process is made. So
I please. Really hope also in Drive to Survive season 4 they interview Michael Massey, because
yes,
he's been pretty prominent.
Yes, and we have a lot of questions. That
which I'm sure he'll love.
Yes, but you know what? As long as it's not in an email or a phone call, maybe he'll answer them in the middle of a race. Don't interview him on Sunday.
He'll listen to our podcast.
You know what? He should. Michael.
You would learn a lot.
Yeah, you would. We have a whole book of ideas for you if yes. you'd like to consult it.
Make sure to go to weather.com and look at the hourly forecast.
Weather.com is your friend.
Some funny commentary that was Texas related. Well, okay. Well, the first one was just like about Lewis and Max, and the commentator was like, oh, this isn't their first rodeo. It's like, okay. And then they were like, can Lewis reel Max in? And then at the end
that
they
was
said,
he followed that with the lasso thing.
Oh, yeah.
If only Lewis had a lasso, but he said lasso really weird.
Oh, also, when they said rodeo, they were like rodeo. This isn't their first rodeo. Job. Yeah, they're not in Hollywood.
Nope.
And then at the end, they said, in the land of the longhorn, it's the bull that's come out on top today.
Except instead of that accent, which would have made it at least somewhat okay, it was a posh British accent.
Yeah, you should do it.
I can't do it, Pod. They're going to kill me. I've already done it too much. The last one's my favorite. This championship is as tight as my shirt after a night of brisket.
I mean, we've all been there.
Yes.
But I didn't need a picture of man's exploding stomach.
We've seen this man. He was in the behind-the-scenes picture a couple races ago.
They should have never released that footage.
Mm-mm. All right, results.
So the podium was Max, Lewis, and Lewis also got fastest lap, and Checo.
Yay! By the way, Checo struggled. His drinking system broke during the race. Yeah. And he got out. He like chugged a gallon of water. They showed him like chugging it, and then he like crawled up to the stage.
He couldn't even. Okay.
No. He couldn't hold the Mexican flag. He put it in the champagne bottle.
And then in his post-race interview, he said he had zero strength left since lap 20 and was in survival mode. And he said, it was the longest race of my life. And then the interviewer just goes, but you did well.
Checo's this just is like, him in survival mode? That's insane.
You gotta drive to survive.
Well-named TV show, honestly, because that's what they do. They drive to survive.
I just can't believe he was in a drought in the middle of Texas. Like, the worst place to run out of water.
Yeah, honestly. And they all struggled. They were all exhausted. Like, they were all struggling. But to not drink at all during the race. I wonder how much weight they lost. Because I know in Singapore, they lose, like, at least 5 pounds. Because it's so hot. Yeah. So they must have lost a significant amount of weight.
Okay, some very great Max personal fans. Yoss was there cheering on Max, and he looked so thrilled after Max won. And then Christian was like grinning ear to ear, so happy for the double podium. But I was very thrilled that Max first hugged, of all people, Mr. Honda.
Who wouldn't hug Mr. Honda first? He was so cute. It was also cute watching Christian, like, bob up and down as Max made his way through people trying to, like, get next in line.
Yeah.
But also a sign that everyone loves Mr. Honda. When he went up, he was the Red Bull Honda representative on the podiums. And when he was up there and he got his little trophy and he, like, lifted it up, they panned to Mrs. Spice, Ginger Spice. And she just went, like, oh, put her hand on her heart, like, oh, so cute.
He also wore a shirt that has the Honda, like, tagline on it that I thought was cute. It says, "The Power of Dreams."
Oh my god! Another cool... Okay, I don't know if this is... I don't know what was going on, to be honest. Shaq drove up to the podium in a Longhorn car?
Yeah, I mean, it looked like a chariot.
It looked...
With no horses.
Yeah, but it also looked like a boat. Like, the inside of it looked like one of those speed boats. Like, the leather seats. It was so bizarre. And it had giant horns, and it was just Shaq in there, just chilling. And he had the trophy with him, and they drove him up to the stage. And they were like, haha, he could just, like, lift it up and put it on the podium. But no, he went all the way up and stood next to them. And it was hilarious because Max on the first place podium is the exact same height, just as Shaq being Shaq.
Literally, the stage was Lewis, Shaq, Max, Checo, and Mr. Honda.
But Shaq's just standing behind.
Imagine how Shaq felt then.
Yeah, he was just like, da-da-da-da-da. and none of the other, like, because every trophy was handed out by someone else. They were all on the side. Shaq was front and center for no reason.
It was so, like, and you could see he was sweating.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't exactly smiling. I think he was trying, but he was so uncomfortable.
I think that's just what he looks like. I think he just looks like
now,
that.
Now, Shaq has a very happy disposition, typically.
I did think it was funny. So, like, he handed the trophy to Max, and they shook hands. And then there was, like, a minute in between them giving Lewis his. And so they shook hands, and they said something, and then they stopped, and Shaq is still standing there. And Lewis, like, pauses and then turns around and shakes Shaq's hand, too, out of nowhere and, like, whispers something to him. And I'm sure it wasn't. I'm sure he's met Shaq before, but it looked like a very much, like, well, I want to talk to Shaq, too. Like, hi, Shaq, hi.
Yeah, I wonder what he said.
So good. So good to have you here.
Why am I here?
They interviewed another basketball player who said he was here. I forgot what his name is, but he was here specifically for Lewis. He's like, we're Biffles.
He was a, I forget
Miami
his name.
Miami Heat guy?
Yeah, Miami Heat legend, apparently. Never heard of him.
I know Shaq. I know Shaq, and that's as far as it goes. By the way, have you seen the picture of him with his girlfriend from, like, a few years ago? She's legit at his waist.
No.
It's, like, terrifying. I'm going to show you. Like, not, like, it's...
Well, the poor man. He's, like, almost 7 feet.
He's 7'1", yeah.
Okay, so the rest of the top 10. Charles got P4, which, great. Like, that's not bad. So, but I'm not going to say he was entirely free of the curse just yet, because we're still waiting for a Charles podium. And
yes,
this is really
true.
The best shot. When is he going to have his moment?
I mean, he still has a few races left. And
Mexico and Brazil.
And then there's the Middle East ones, which are pretty far.
Middle East might be good for him.
Yeah. I hope so. It seems far enough. His birthday's long gone. So there's a chance.
He will thrive in the oil states.
That's the secret sauce. Yes. Oil.
Daniel got P5. So proud.
Very good.
Yeah. Because he was having a little rough.
Someone said something really funny about, like, the cowboy energy, but they said it differently. Yeah. And it was
he has cowboy mojo.
Yes, and it was Andreas
Seidel.
Said it. Yes,
yeah.
Andreas Seidel. Which sounds funnier coming from him. I can't imagine him saying that.
Didn't know he knew anything about cowboys or mojo.
He's an expert.
Yeah. Valtteri got P6, which I'm very proud of, given his setbacks multiple times.
Yeah, he kept going up and then down and then up and then...
So P6, all things considered, is not bad. Carlos got P7, which he had a little bumps with McLaren, so P7's not the worst, but he also needs a moment. And then Lando got P8. I don't know.
He was sad about it.
Yeah, I mean, that's not good for him. I don't know what happened with him, but...
It just wasn't in the cards. The Carlos thing, that whole kerfuffle just, like, screwed them all up. Except Daniel.
He did bad in quali, too.
Lando? Texas is in his jam, I guess. Maybe Mexico City is.
He does love a sombrero moment.
Anyway, Yuki got P9, which is good for him. He went up one. He started P10.
I'm very proud of Yuki, and I'm sure Helmet is proud as well.
But I feel like Helmet's not disappointed.
I think Mr. Honda is more proud, like, as a father figure.
I think Mr. Honda is proud of everyone all the time. I don't think he's ever disappointed.
All of Red Bull and AlphaTauri?
I think he might be proud of the other teams, too, you know?
He was really celebrating. Well, I guess today's podium's different because it was two Red Bulls, but, like, he was really chill with Lewis, too.
I don't imagine he has a bad bone in his body. I imagine he is happy for... He eats that katsu for everyone.
Yes, the good luck katsu.
Yes.
Katsudon.
And Mr. Honda, we would love to have katsu with you, please.
So, standings-wise, Max has 287.5 points, and Lewis has 275.5. So, yeah, it's like a 12-point difference. And then Valtteri has 185. And then Checo has 150. And then Lando has 149 points. So he's actually just 1 point away from Checo, which is pretty crazy.
How did that happen?
Well, Checo actually, his bad run was really bad.
I know, but I swear they had a bigger difference for a while.
Yeah, I know. That was quick. So, yeah, they're only 1 point apart. And then Charles has 128 points. And Carlos has 122.5. So they have like a 5.5 point difference.
Now, they used to be half point.
Yeah, now it's
with
a little...
With Carlos in the lead.
Yeah, because Charles was like 3 positions above Carlos today.
Yeah.
And then Daniel is in 8th place with 105 points.
Whoa.
Hope he brings that cowboy energy everywhere he goes.
Cowboy mojo.
Yes. And then constructor standings, the top 5 teams are Mercedes, Red Bull, and then McLaren has 254 points above Ferrari that has 250.5 points. So it's a 3.5 point difference. So it's super close between them. And then Alpine has 104 points. Okay, right. Driver of the day, Max won. but
fair enough.
Whatever. Checo, I think, is my pick because he was so thirsty and dying, and yet he podiumed.
I chose Charles because I think he overcame the Monegas curse here, but in terms of performance on track, I agree that Checo was exceptional.
And then we both really liked whoever called from Alpine to sass Michael Massey.
It was so sarcastic and sassy. It killed me. He's like, oh, right. Yeah. Okay. So this? Because it sounded so genuine at first. I thought he was genuinely asking him how it worked.
Yep. But it was actually nicely passive aggressive.
Yeah. It was good. Poor Michael. But it was funny. All right. Dick in the box box. There wasn't really a dick in the box box.
Well, just some contenders, when Max was trying to lap Yuki would not get out of the way and cost Max, like, he lost 4 seconds, and it didn't end up being consequential, but I personally think Yuki did this because they put airtime on the two of them and showed their cars, and, you know, Acura was on both of their rear wings today, mm-hmm. And I think Yuki just, this was a big play for Acura, because Acura was shown quite a bit for the both of them, and Yuki is, like, not a bad kind of nationalist, but a good kind of nationalist.
You think so. Acura was in his ear, like, don't let him through. More screen time.
We at least 4 seconds lost here.
Quite possible. But Yuki wasn't the only one that held Max up at that point. It was Kimi? Someone else.
Max hit a lot of traffic, which was bizarre because it's like, if you're going to get lapped, get out of the way. And then also, when Lewis came around to lap people, because they got out of Max's way, they're like, oh, I'll just stay here. Or like, now I know what to do, because Lewis had no real issues.
And it's also weird because this track seems so big and wide. The fact that it's hard to overtake or that like you get stuck behind people is weird.
Yeah.
All right, so That's it for the American Grand Prix.
Woohoo! It was a lot of fun. We're so glad that everyone enjoyed America.
And we had some good food.
In 2 weeks, we are in Mexico. Do you think they'll go home? Do you think they'll go back to Europe?
It really wouldn't make sense to.
Mick is 100% going to his ranch.
Yeah.
It's there. It's right there.
I wish we could see the ranch, but there's no way.
No way we're seeing that. His sister and mom were there. Oh, no. His mom was there and some girl.
Just a girl.
I don't know. It was described as a friend. I don't know if that's a girlfriend that no one knows about or I don't know who it was. But they were there, so it was nice to see another Schumacher at the race. And I learned today that Ralf Schumacher is a Sky F1 Germany narrator, commentator.
And he apparently thinks Kimi lost a lot of talent suddenly.
Yeah, someone messaged us and said that when Kimi spun, he was like, oh, that's a loss of talent. Which, lol. Anyway, we're very excited for Mexico. I don't know what I'm cooking yet. Do you?
Nope, but lots of good options. I love Mexican food.
Same. So we will see you guys for Mexico. Box, yep. Box.
Box, box.